get settled in here.
Still adjusting to some new glasses. Praise the Lord, I was without for a month. Sang a lot of wrong words the last couple weeks. Thank you all for not catching it too much. So it's Father's Day. Just having a big mouth. You guys hear me? Is that better? All right, awesome. So we're here, and it's Father's Day. A lot of us fathers have different giftings. A lot of us fathers have come from different walks of life with different experiences, and praise the Lord, some different testimony. When I started preparing for this, I don't know if I ended up with sermon, words of encouragement, some words of fellowship, or a little town hall get-together. So I think we're going to get a hodgepodge, which is probably what I should have named it. I might pick on a few of you, and I've already hit you, most of you, up ahead of time. But before we do, I'd like to pray us in, please. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the gifts in our life, for the gift of your Son, and in recognition today for the gift of fatherhood that you have exampled for us, and the gift of sacrifice that your Son has given to us freely so that we can have grace and forgiveness and be one with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I brought in a few things today. I talked about different walks of life and different things we do. Many of you know I was injured before. I had several back surgeries, hip surgeries, hernia surgeries. I was told I'd never walk without a cane again. Kids, you guys want to leave? Two cups of coffee, just throwing it out there. All right. So, in that, I finally realized that God was the one who had restored me, and it wasn't me picking myself up. It was God picking me up. And that if I honored him for that, that my odds of continuing service for things that glorify the kingdom would probably continue. So I just wanted to share a few things. These are part of my current walk and my past walk. Got a little toolbox. Got about 14, 15 drywall knives. Whole bunch of mud inside. Everything from the great big ones that I use to do specialty work, which I do a lot, all the way down to some little ones. Get you in behind doors and do this and that. Oddly enough, after many, many years of doing it, that's not the hardest part of my job. This puppy right here, it's that harness. Because part of being the guy who sprinkles a little magic on places where they need it, I sometimes have to do that 30, 40, 50 foot in the air, off a lift, maybe climb out of the lift, walk across pipes, tie it off to beams. But God has empowered me to do that, and that's part of my gifting and my daily walk. We have men here in the congregation who have a varied range of gifting. Mr. Leonard has a special set of gifting. He works with some of God's creatures. He takes care of those cows. He produces the milk. He raises the hay. He prepares and he feeds for them. But I tell you what, I want to talk about our first example of fatherhood in the Bible. So if you will, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth, over all of the creatures that move along the ground." So this is the intro. This single verse tells us that, A, we were purposed for great things. He had prepared those things in a place for us. It tells us that we were modeled after the Creator. And it tells us that God had planned ahead for our arrival. As parents, when the baby's coming, you prepare ahead. So we already see these principles that God's laying out for us, that he had not only planned on us, but but he prepared for us, and he was going to prepare a place for us to succeed. So I'm going to throw out a bonus verse, because Julie loves it when I do that. God bless you, girl. Let's flip over a page to the right, Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." So here we are. Not only did God prepare a place, he prepared a special place for us that he actually planted himself for us. Adam and Eve did not plant that garden. God planted that garden. He prepared it for us to go, and it says there that things were pleasing for the eye and pleasing for food. So he wanted us to be in a place of comfort, and that's one of the first examples that I can find of his intent to sustain us daily. Parenting principle number two for today. And as we go through today, you're going to see that God, the original Father, has modeled for us many ways and many places in our lives for us to do the same, for us to mimic him. Just like Jesus was willing to sacrifice for us, we would sacrifice for our children. And so it all goes hand in hand. And we look at these verses, and I'm not going to make you read it, but if we was to flip on over to Genesis 3, verse 21, this is right after the fall. And so we're going to see another godly principle, another parenting principle, rather, taking effect. So this is right after the fall. God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, but he was coming directly to us. God knew something had already happened. He knew that the serpent was in the garden. I have no doubt in my mind of that. But God was right on the scene. And the first thing that he does is he addresses the sin. He curses Satan. And then he clothes us. As parents, I believe unanimously this is probably another principle. When our children are hurt, when they go astray, our first reaction is to run out to grab the children, to put them in the right direction, but just as well make sure they're safe, clothe them, and protect them. Secondly to that, we see what he responds to Adam and Eve, and he says, "Because you have done this, this is what the man will work of the soil, and through the sweat of the brow, and the wife, there will be enmity between Satan and the woman, and pain and childbirth and all these things." But when he gets to Satan, he says, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the living things. You're going to crawl on your belly all of your days." Parenting principle. Your child gets hurt. Your child gets led astray. We want to go and protect our child. We want to cover them. We want to see them back on the right path. But at the same point, there's a natural hatred for the things that we see that separate our children from God. And it's not hard for us to want to curse them. This is personal opinion. God did it. God cursed the beguiler who led us astray. And so we learn through time that we love the sinners, but we hate the sin. And for us, the source of that sin came from the garden, and because we were tricked. And because of that, Satan is eternally cursed, and there is no reparation. But for us, being in that position, we have a Father who's full of grace, and he was quick to not only secure us and comfort us and clothe us with garments of skin, making the first sacrifice for us. He showed us the example of what to stay away from and said, "Okay, Satan, no, you are the cursed one." And so imminently, we see God coming and showing these principles. But I'm going to talk about us a little bit. The last 2 weeks in Children's Church, we talked about superpowers and heroes. And oddly enough, how things came to be. So I asked all of the children, if you could pick a superpower, what would it be? I got a couple who wanted to fly. I got a couple who wanted to be able to bend time. I got the power of healing. Maybe one more. But those were the three main ones. Now, the interesting part is when I said, how would you use that power? If you had that power right now, how would you use it? And one of them was super speed. The one with super speed said if I knew something was going wrong or somebody was going to be hurt, I would be able to run over real fast and help them. If I was able, another one said, if I was able to fly, I would be able to fly around, and if I saw somebody in danger or somebody being hurt, I would be able to fly down and help them. And so when it came to the matter of time bending and time shifting, it said, you know, if we saw somebody in need or some great disaster or some great thing, I would be able to turn back the clock and go and warn those people. Every single child opted to use their superpower in a godly way that glorified God. So, bless you parents. You're obviously setting an example that makes a difference in their lives. But we continued on and we talked about how things come about. How parents, if we need new clothes, if the parents go to the store and they say, well, yeah, the parents go get it. I said, yeah, but where do they get the money from? Because we just stick the card in. But who sticks the card in our billfold to do that? And so we talked about how parents set things up behind the scenes, kind of like God was doing in the very beginning in Genesis. We were able to see that God prepared and he set things up before we arrived. And we talked about how mom and dads may prepare our clothes and they prepare our breakfast so that we wake up in the morning, it's prepared, and they've already put us in a place to succeed. So once again, bless you moms and dads. Now, one of the final things that we talked about in Children's Church, as I just threw it out there and I said, you know what? Who are your heroes? I expected to hear some Superman because of the ability to fly. I expected to hear Flash because of the ability to run real fast. I expected to hear Doctor Strange from the Avengers because his ability to bend time and reverse things and go back in time. I got a unanimous answer out of every single child in Children's Church. Everyone said mom and dad. There was no stutter. There was no hesitation. Parents, you are their heroes. And I just wanted to let you know, as fathers, especially being that day, that your children not only pay attention, but they recognize the things that you do, even though they don't know how it's done. We are like this when it comes to our faith walk. We know that God has prepared things for us ahead of time for us to be comfortable and to succeed and to make our path straight in his ways. We don't always understand how, but we don't have to. His purpose is to be our great Father, the one in heaven. And so God threw this little statement at me and said, God, prepare your children. Or dads, prepare your children. And I mean this in the most sincere compliment. And the example I have is, I'm going to call Mr. Leonard out and his daughter. While we was up there, we was talking about stories about how our parents prepare us to succeed and do well. Well, it was actually Brenna told us the story about she has this burning desire to learn how to drive a tractor. And that dad is teaching her how to do so. And for her, it's this great thing because dad has taken the time to teach his daughter to do something that she feels that she wants to do, and she wants to take part and contribute in the family business and all those things that go along with it. And so as we talked, we was kind of in the middle of all the hero things, and so we discussed what it takes for dad to prepare that for her. I'm sure dad didn't get the most broke down, dilapidated tractor he had in the barn to teach his daughter how to drive on. I'm sure that he checked that tractor out. He made sure that it had gas, that the brakes worked, that the clutch was just right. Was she going to be able to push in the clutch? He was setting her up for success, number one. Number two, he was taking the time to make sure that she was going to be safe as he prepared her to be able to someday do this on her own. And she may be already, I don't know. Is she? With some super, so she's getting there. That's why the excitement, because she is on the cusp of getting through the point that dad has prepared a place for her to succeed, an open field, a safe tractor, good brakes, and a clutch that she can push in. And he has provided her with the training, the direction, and the education to know what everything does, how they work together, and what to do in an emergency. For us as people of faith, before we get to the emergency, we should look to the cross. Everything we should do should point to the cross. But in times of peril, we run to the cross. Never get too far away. So I want to thank you for letting me embarrass you just a little bit. So I came up with another scripture, and this was Galatians 5:22. It's right there on the wall, and I'm going to read it for you guys. I'm going to try and read slow. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. So we see all the way back to Genesis. God prepared a garden pleasing to the eye, and the food was good. God was not only a parent, first parent, he was the first farmer. He was the guy who planted the Garden of Eden for us. And so when we look at that, there's parallels here. Does God want us to be farmers? Yes. There's your fruit. And if you example this to your children every day, God is a man of math, if I'm going to call him a man of anything. He's a man of math, and he loves exponents. He told us to get on the earth and multiply and be fruitful. Here we are. Multiply that. If you're going to produce fruit, let it be that. And I would encourage you fathers to example this, because I'm hoping that telling you what happened up in Children's Church lets you know that your children are paying attention and your actions will have a recourse. Do you want to multiply that in the ways of God, or do you want to multiply that in things that will separate your child? If you're an FFA animal kid, you have to prepare for your animals. You have to prepare a place. You have to prepare food. They probably help you figure out how much food. Say if you're raising hogs, your hog's going to need to eat to get to a certain weight. Or how long you should let the wool on the lambs grow before it's time to shave it. Some are ready further than others. Some take a little bit longer. But you know what? Things are being prepared, and God has called some of us here in the church to do that, to be mentors and to prepare and to mentor. And so I'm going to address a couple of those real quick. Number one, Mr. Jesse. He is one of our elders. I view this man as a sound man of God who moves with God's purpose first, a son, father, brother, who examples God in his daily life. I thank you and I bless you for that. Mr. Matt Wiseman, who's not here. Matt recently started a relationship class. He is exampling Jesus's new command to love one another as he loved us. So Matt has stepped above and beyond and is now teaching a class for our young adults, or soon-to-be young adults, to learn how to be in relationship status that pleases God. He is teaching our children how to love one another as Jesus has loved him. Furthermore, I would like to address Les. Les has been an accountability partner. He has been a mentor to many of us here in the church. And that you are willing to stand forward as a man of God. And if we need prunes, you're willing to prune. If you are called to pray for by God, you are a prayer warrior. And I thank you for that, and I bless you for that. I have one other mentor in the church, Mr. Matt Maglott, who is also an accountability partner, along with the elders, who I can ask a straight question and respects me and loves me enough as a brother in Christ that he will give me a straight answer. As fathers, I would encourage you to look around the room, because there are other fathers who have different gifts and different blessings in their life that you may be able to plug into. I would encourage men to stand together. We're called the army of God for a reason. We're not one. And so I am blessed and I am privileged to have the mentors that I have. Now, that being said, as a child of God, I have to open myself up to correction. I have to open myself up to pruning, and I have to understand that if I seek these things from God, and if I'm going to grow, the original gardener is going to have to prune me to keep me fruitful. And I know that that's going to be the end result. So the last scripture I'm going to give you guys today, I'm going to address the armor of God. And I've asked Mr. Matt Maglott to stand up and read that for us, if he would.
We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the powers, the world rulers, the present darkness, on God's beyond. You may be able to resist the same ground when you obey, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having taken the bow of truth and under one, and having thrown the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet in preparation, with the firm foot of stability, promptness and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all, covering the shield of faith, on which you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit of peace, which is the word of God.
Thank you, sir. So we see the armor of God. We look at this in our, as a guy, my first instinct is that this is a defense. And we've also addressed in several sermons before about how there's nothing on the back, so we should never run away. God intends for us to move forward and know that we are fully covered in the armor of God. We've also addressed that there's no spear, there's no hammer, there's no mace. There is no offensive weapon described in this analogy. And what I've come to find out through time is that our defensive armor is our offensive weapon. You stand in faith. You stand with God. The righteousness of God, the presence of God in your heart, and Satan has to flee. So what we stand behind as our defensive armor is also our offensive weapon to deter, deflect, and turn Satan so that he has to run. So when you think about that, that's why there's no back plate. That's why there is no weapon on the front. God intended for us to move forward, to be fruitful, to multiply, to reign over the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, and all the living things. As fathers, he set the first example for us to be able to follow. They say mimicry is the purest form of flattery. If you're going to do and mimic anything, I would recommend that you take just a look in Genesis 1, spend a little time. Take a look at Galatians 5:25 or 5:22 and 23. Spend a little time there. I would spend a little time in Ephesians thinking about things that we have for our defense as our offense. And in the midst of all that, understand that we as men are not only called to be patriarchs, but we are called to set a godly example just like he did. And in those times, we are also called to be willing to sacrifice for our families. And I have no doubt that any of the men here have called for that sacrifice, would gladly do so. So what I'm going to do is normally we have a closing song, and we're not going to do that today. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. There are going to be no words for this song on the screen because I want you guys to be able to hear the words and not worry about the screen. This song is actually a song that I had written a couple years ago. And this song talks about some examples in my life and some of my friends' life about how the son saves the father. After we sing through this, I'm going to ask all of the men to come up, if you could, please. And I'm going to ask all of the women to come up and encircle the men. And I would like to have a prayer of blessing prayed over our men. Whether you are a father, a grandfather, or a someday father, I would ask for you guys to come up. God.
riding down the prey. Lord, I saw the words just flow out as he looked up through the rain. Give my son a blessing. Inside you, one time,